VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, and we go to our colleague, Nuri Turkel, co-founder of the Uyghur Human Rights Project, a commissioner of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, with concerns on the Uyghur people of East Turkestan, Xinjiang. The persecution is now explicated worldwide, but we come to a puzzle. Nuri, a very good evening to you. I go to CNN reporting out of Istanbul. Aminisa Abdullah and her husband Ahmed Talib were on their way to shop for baby clothes in Dubai when the message that changed both their lives came through. This is CNN reporting. Ahmed read it and announced an abrupt change of plan. He had to report to a police station immediately. Ahmed dropped Aminisa off at a friend's house that day in February 2018, promising to pick her up later. He never came back. Nuri, what's going on? What about these abductions? What can you tell us? Good evening to you.
Good evening. We live in a strange world that China's customers in a Muslim-majority countries have been aiding and abetting in the ongoing genocidal acts committed against Uyghurs and the other Turkic Muslims. The Middle Eastern government's complacency with the CCP attempts to silence the Uyghur people and collectively punish even those who are living outside of China started in late 2016 with the arrival of this person by the name Chen Zhengguo, who used to be the party secretary in Tibet. So he was given all the tools and resources to round up Uyghur people, and that expanded to China's clientele states that includes UAE, Saudi Arabia. Not only that, the Muslim leaders joined a letter initiated by the Chinese government that number is over 30, not only lending support to the Chinese ongoing disinformation campaign to portray Muslim happy Muslim people within China, they also phrased Xi Jinping's treatment of the fellow Uyghurs, Muslim Uyghurs. In fact, in the world, no country treats Muslims the way that the CCP treats. And yet, unconscionably, disturbingly, these Muslim countries, the Gulf countries particularly, have been supporting a Chinese regime. In the historic atrocity situation, the regime usually kicked the people out of the country, whereas China uses its diplomatic and economic influence to bribe those countries to bring anyone who's suspicious of being religious or someone who cherishes the Uyghur cultural and ethnic values. And this story reported in the new by CNN is one of the many heart-wrenching stories that I personally have been hearing in the last 3-4 years.
Gordon, you have a question for Nuri.
Nuri, it's disturbing, but I can sort of understand why elites in these Muslim-majority countries have been bought off. It's awful, but it happens everywhere. The question for you is, how about the common people in these Muslim-majority countries? Do they accept what Beijing says, or do they have a very different view from what their leaders are doing?
There are two different ways to look at this. In the countries like Turkey, for example, in Asian Muslim countries like Indonesia and Malaysia, where a certain level of internet freedom is available, that people know generally what is happening to their fellow Muslims within communist China. But their government is restricting social and media advocacy. Therefore, much of the people are not really familiar with what's happening. And also these countries don't allow this kind of public resistance to another foreign power that their leaders have intimate relationship. So I would say it would be unfair for me to say that they don't care, but I think they do care, but they do not have the type of freedom that people in liberal democracies have to lobby their government and speak to the media, organize events. So this is it's been somewhat confusing to observers and people who are concerned about this, but the problem rests with their leadership. Specifically, one case in point, Turkey. In Turkey, the media is becoming very pro-government and controlled, influenced by the government. Even some of the traditional media outlets that reported on Uyghur human rights in the past are not being very courageous or fair, even if you will, to cover the stories. But we may see a different landscape now because of the support across the board in Europe and the United States is heating up. These countries, particularly moderate Muslim countries, if there's any left, might be willing to join the effort.
Nuri, Turkey is a regional power, perhaps a world power. It's a member of NATO. It's a Muslim-dominated country, of course. And early on, I believe there was talk that the Turkish state security was working in some fashion to help the Uyghurs, but it's very inexact. All these years later, the Uyghur story, fully known by the West, is Turkey linked in some fashion to helping the Uyghurs?
There's an incredible societal support, support by various humanitarian organizations on the ground in Turkey, but the Erdogan government has been very disappointing. Those of us follow politics in Turkey remember back in 2009, Erdogan was courageous enough to call Chinese treatment of the Uyghurs as a genocide. This was 2009. In the year 2021, Erdogan is not saying anything. But we're seeing some positive development. To its credit, the UN, the Turkish ambassador to the United Nations, recently joined a public event, a forum organized by Western liberal democracies, where the representatives from our government, Germany, UK, Canada, spoke. I was very delighted to see the ambassador to the UN spoke powerfully, even used the term Uyghur Turks, which the Chinese government hates, tried to discredit. But we may see some, because there's a public demand in the Turkish society, all the opposition parties, including the former Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu's new party, and one of the major parties in the Turkish parliament, have been very critical of Erdogan and his hypocritical approach into the human rights issues in the Muslim involving Muslim people.
Gordon, you spoke to me of an article that Nuri's written about the Olympics. Please help me understand, and if you have a question for Nuri about it.
Well, Nuri, in your foreign policy article on the Olympics, on the genocide Olympics, what did you talk about in terms of the boycott?
The similarities between the 1936 Hitler Olympics with his 2022 CCP genocidal Olympics are strikingly similar. Similar to the events surrounding the 1936, including build up the Dachau concentration camps, forced labor, forced sterilization, and Hitler's effort to use the Games, Summer Olympic Games, to normalize his regime and invading Europe 3 years, shortly 3 years after the Games. Also something very similar to what Xi Jinping is planning to. And also the boycott effort has been publicly discussed. Recently, Speaker Pelosi even went out of her way and called for a diplomatic boycott. What we should do is to relocate this Olympic to a country that does not commit a genocide. If that relocation effort is not being successful, considering the very little time that we have, we should at least postpone it. The Summer Olympics in Tokyo was postponed once because of the pandemic, and the international community should not repeat the mistake of 1936 again. And also there's a much bigger story to be told. The sponsors of the upcoming Olympic in Beijing, also some of those companies implicated in the forced labor practices. So those sponsors are also pressuring the Olympic Committee, U.S. Olympic Committee and International Olympic Committee, to go ahead with this game. And they also claim that they are not in a position to politicize. The fact that they're listening to the Chinese, serving the Chinese interest, is also politicization. The International Olympic Committee has an observing status at the UN. It is a political organization in a way. So they need to stop caving into Chinese pressure, stop caving into the corporate pressure, should do the right thing. It would be unfair for our athletes to go and compete in the backdrop of the concentration camps, in the backdrop of the ongoing genocidal campaign. And also it will be retaliation against our athletes if any of them find out before, afterwards, or during the games about the ongoing atrocities. Chinese will retaliate. Anyone who remembers the story about NBA, anyone who remembers about this soccer player, Mesut Özil, who used to play for Arsenal, know the retaliation coming their way, even with the slightest disapproval of the Chinese government's treatment of their own citizens.
Nuri Turkel, co-founder of the Uyghur Human Rights Project, commissioner of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, Gordon Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.